The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. So to start the year off, we're going to touch on a subject that I think everybody frets about at some point in their life. And when you get to the period in your life when you're thinking about exams, it does seem like an eternity. It goes on for years and years. So we think it's a really important topic to touch on. And we know from talking to you, our listeners, that it's a topic that you're really, really interested to hear more about. So I'm delighted to be joined by Lindsay Hayes from Justin Craig here on the show tonight. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us on The Parents Show.
Hello, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be back again.
Indeed, indeed. Now, we didn't get enough time to ask you all the questions we wanted before Christmas, so now is our chance. To start off with, Lindsay, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Justin Craig.
So I'm an experienced teacher, so I've been teaching psychology at all levels, from level one OCR, which is a non-accredited course, through to first year degree level as an academic tutor at Goldsmiths College. Most of my experience is A-level, especially AQA, but I have done some revision courses in the other A-level specifications as well. I'm also a former AQA psychology examiner and former OCR GCSE psychology examiner. So my role at Justin Craig is to provide revision courses for psychology students. But of course, Justin Craig doesn't just offer psychology. It offers revision courses for students from year 10 through to year 13. So that's GCSE and A-level in various subjects for all exam boards. We offer these throughout the year. So for example, there is a February half term course coming up if anyone is interested. But we also hold them at Christmas, July, so there's a summer school course in July that your students may be interested in, and there's an online one and a residential one. So the residential one is at Hertfordshire, so in a place called Ware. And the way the course there works is for a week we will prepare year 12 students going through to year 13, so that's year one A-level psychology through to year two, and GCSE psychology and other students as well. We will just have them for a week and prepare them for that. And we will also give them activities to give them all-round skills that will help them with their UCAS application. And also we think it's important to have a good balance between well-being and picking up good revision and exam techniques. So we've been doing this for the last 42 years. And what's special about Justin Craig is that we tailor the course to the students' needs. So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all course where we just come in and drill you through everything. We focus on the areas, particularly in our pre-exam courses, that we feel students would most benefit from based on what they've said to us. And we can obviously adapt the courses according to student needs. So if we've had some students coming into us saying, for example, oh, I'm neurodiverse, I'm getting a bit lost in school, there are too many people in my class, so I really want someone to just go through that technique with me just so that I know what to do in the exams, we can help with that.
Great. Thanks a million, Lindsay. So that is so comprehensive, and that's brilliant to know what Justin Craig do, and you indeed in particular. So exam preparation and revision, they're two very heavy topics. Let's start by asking you about preparing for exams. So when would you say is the right time to start?
Okay, so I would advise students to revise as early as possible. So if you're in year 10 or year 12, I would start revising around this time as part of what we teachers call independent study. So don't just go into your class, sit down and do nothing for however long the teacher has you for. Take some time at home. So I would recommend at least 1 hour per subject per day, doing active things to help you review what you've done in class and to prepare yourself for what the exams will look like when you move into year 11 and year 13. So for year 11 to year 13 students, I would say you should start revising at the end of year 10 and year 12, so over the summer holidays. By the way, I'm not saying that you should do nothing except revise. Of course you shouldn't. It is a good time to relax and have fun, as the work will go up for you and assignments will be longer and more demanding. But just take that time to do a little bit every day, because that will make life so much easier for you as you move into the final stages of your GCSE and A-level course.
So let me just check I got it right. So for year 10, start summer after year 10 finishes. So basically July, August.
Yes.
And for year 12, July, August after you finish year 11.
Yes.
I think that's really, really valuable. And I wonder, are schools generally telling students the same thing? And would you recommend that for all students?
Yes, I would. As long as you have a good work-life balance. I have had some students make the mistake where they're so worried about their grade and they're so intense about it that it's then begun to affect their well-being. So I'm not saying that you should be worrying about it to the point where you think, oh my goodness, what about the exams? And no, I don't mean like that. I mean, just do a little as early as you can, because that will then prepare you later on and it will help with the workload. And also it'll keep your brain active over the holidays, so that when you go into the next year, you'll be more alert when you're in class and better able to transition to the next year.
Fantastic. So you get, avoid the summer slide and hit the ground running when you get back to school.
Absolutely. But you can have a life as well. That's also important. Take care of yourself, because you'll have a lot to do, but it will all be worth it.
Brilliant. Lovely, lovely wise words. Thanks, Lindsay. So what techniques would you suggest that students use in the lead up to exams, and generally what techniques do you recommend?
Okay, so as I said, my first words of wisdom would be, revision should be a marathon, not a sprint. Don't cram. It's not going to work. Second thing I would say is make it active and make it varied. So our long-term memory processes information semantically. In other words, we're better able to remember things long-term if we create meaning for whatever it is that we're doing, and if we learn things in an active way. So we're also more likely to remember if we see connections in different areas of what we're learning, because we can use these as cues or triggers for information. So for example, one of the things that I get my students to do when we finish the specification each year and we're moving into the revision period for mock exams or preparing them for the final exams is to have what my year 13 student last year called a brain dump, which was I would put a word in the middle of the board for a topic that we'd done, for example, memory. And I would say to my students, okay, what I want you to do just for a couple, say 1 minute, 2 minutes, is write down as many words as you can think of when you see the word memory. So that's what we do. I then ask them to tell me. I write that on the board. We then keep a record of that to start them off with revision. The next thing we do then is we have a look at, back at our notes to see whether there is anything that we've missed. If we have, we write that in a different colour. We then move on to the more active part of our revision, which is to have a look at exam type questions. So I would recommend to students have a mixture of past paper questions that are short and long. And what we do is we then use those notes to plan how we would answer the question in bullet points. So for example, one essay we might have is outline and evaluate the multi-store model of memory. So I would then say to the students, okay, what should be in there? And they write that down in bullet points. So things like three stores, short-term, long-term, sensory memory. They might draw a diagram which is allowed for that particular model. And they then might write down some strengths and weaknesses. I would then ask them, okay, which skills would you need for this essay? They would say to me, all right, AO1, my knowledge and understanding. AO3 would be analysis and evaluation. And they then start to write some arguments. So there are some key terms they need to know for their arguments. by the way, I am relating this to A-level psychology because that is what I do, but you can apply this to any subject at any level. Obviously, if you need to seek teacher advice for specific things that you may need to do within your subject to make that work. And then what we do is I finish by telling my students to do some past paper practice timing themselves. So they might finish by writing up this essay on their own. I then give them copies of the marked schemes and we mark each other's answers together as a peer assessment. And then they write down, this is what worked, this is what didn't, what do I need to do next? And once we've done all of that in class, I say to them, right, this is what you should be doing at home as part of your revision and independent study. I also give them a list of topics. So that's something else your listeners could do themselves. They could go through the specification, ask your teacher what that is if you don't know. So whether it's AQA, NXL, OCR. So for my students, we're doing AQA. So what I do for them is I create a list of topics that they need to know for each exam paper. Again, that's something you could all do yourselves at home if you want to. And we have a checklist of, yep, I could answer a question on that, I'm comfortable, to I'm not so comfortable, but I could do something with Serena and said, I have no idea, I need to ask Lindsay. And we go on from there. And by the way, I also offer these materials to students on my Justin Cray courses as well. And these are also things that I ask students before I do the revision course with them once I know who's enrolled.
Fantastic. And I guess what I'm picking up from what you're saying is the knowledge needs to be there in order for revision to be successful. So they're really, the knowledge has to be embedded in advance. So learn what you need to learn well in advance, get it into your long-term memory, and then focus on the techniques to get you the best exam results based on that knowledge.
Definitely. And one thing that you all could do to help is have a list of key terms that you need to know. So the exam boards will give you a list of command words. I believe they will also give you a list of subject words that you need to know. But if not, you can ask your teacher for help with that if you need help with making your own from your textbooks and your notes. And what I do with my students to help them, because in the past I've taught students who do not have English as a first language, is I've thought of some pictures and I put that next to the word on the list. So for example, when I was teaching students what long-term memory is, I posted a picture of an elephant because elephants are said never to forget. So that helps students, my students, to remember the idea of, oh, okay, long-term memory can hold as much information as we'd want. It's thought to be unlimited. And it's thought to last for up to a lifetime. Oh, and it has to have meaning. We have to know that an elephant is an animal. So that's how I help them. So when we do revision sometimes and I say to them all, what are the characteristics of long-term memory? And they go, do you remember the picture of the elephant? Oh, yes. And then suddenly they remember.
Fantastic. That's a brilliant technique. And so I think for whether we're talking about revision, learning, exam technique, anything related to exams, procrastination is an issue, I think, for the vast majority of people. Certainly was for me when I was at school. What would you say to students and parents who are listening in about what to do about procrastination?
First, I would say it happens to us all, even me. So the thing to figure out first then is, why is it happening? So there could be different reasons. It's not just because we're all lazy. So one reason might be because, for example, you finish in June, you've had a long year, and you think, yay, I've got holiday, I've got 6 weeks, woohoo! Oh, my first mock exam is not until September. Or you might think, oh, okay, my GCSE exam, A-level exam is not until 2025 if you're in year 12 at the moment. Yay, bags of time, no problem. I'm going to chill and relax. But the trouble is you then think, right, how do I get around to starting once you've had that break? Some students procrastinate because they're so worried about getting a bad grade or that the thought being in the exam is so overwhelming for them that they just don't know where to start. It could be FOMO. We don't want to miss out. Of course we don't. Or we keep getting distracted. So there are a few things that I would suggest. And some of these I've taken from Professor Palmer from the BPS that he's posted on the internet. So firstly is to be clear and realistic about what you want from your revision. So for example, when I was doing the first year of my psychology degree, I sat down and said, right, I'm going to revise for 6 hours every day. I sat down on day one. After an hour, I'm like, this is not working. So it just didn't work. So I thought, I then sat down and thought about, okay, when do I best work? So I decided, okay, I'm going to cut it down to 4 hours a day, Monday to Friday, and I broke each hour down by the modules that I needed to know. And then within each module, I broke it down into a series of 25-minute slots with a five-minute break in the middle. If you are a younger student here, you might find 15 or 20 minutes earlier because your concentration spans might be a bit shorter than mine was as an 18-year-old. This is called the Pomodoro technique. Pomodoro is Italian for tomato, and it's just the idea of it's easier to do something if you break it down into chunks. It's less overwhelming and you can see where to start off. Secondly, I would say graduate the tasks that you do. So for example, start with something simple like the brain dump that I mentioned earlier, through to now I'm going to have a look at some questions. Do use past papers for this, or have a look at your textbooks, or have a look on some good places like Tutor2U, be selective, that have webinar videos where they ask you a mixture of multiple choice questions or exam questions that you can then listen to and pause and then hear the answer. So do that with your notes and then check your notes, write in a different colour anything you've missed, and then follow that by the timed exam questions where you time yourself doing some. The next thing I would say is if you're easily distracted, sorry if it sounds obvious, but clear your space, have it nice, clean and tidy, mute your phone for however long you're going to revise and say to friends and family, look, I'm really sorry, I won't be able to talk to you at X time because I'm doing my revision. Also, have a little reward for yourself afterwards. So once you've done your revision for the day, so for example, I would revise from 8 till 12 o'clock. When that was done, I would then go out with my friends for the afternoon, or I would do something else that I enjoyed, like reading a book or listening to some music. So that then made me feel better about going back to finishing my revision the next day. Keep the end goal in mind. Remember what you're doing this for. It doesn't last forever, and it will be worth it in August when you get the results that you want. If you're an anxious student, so remember that there is always a plan B. That was something one of my colleagues once said to me. Have you got a plan B or a plan C? Plan C is even better, but have you got a plan B? As long as you have a plan B, it is fine. So for example, if it's a mock exam that you're revising for, that's what it is. This is your chance to figure out with your teacher, what is it you have learned? What is it you understand? What is it you need to work on next? And you've still got time for your teacher to help you. That is what it's for. It's not something that we're all going to beat you over the head with. It's an idea to find that out, and better to do it now than in the final exam where you've not had a chance to practice. So you'll get another chance. If it's your final exam, you can resit. There is no age limit for university. When I was at university, one of my fellow students was 72 years old. So in fact, the universities will admire you more if you've not necessarily got it right. Because what you're doing is you're showing resilience. You're saying, look, I've had a few challenges, but I've thought about it, I've taken time, I've got that support, and I've learned from that, and I'm now ready. So, and universities will, by the way, take your circumstances into account in your application. There is a specific section for that. So please, please do not worry if things do not work out as planned. And finally, I would say if you're having trouble getting started or motivating yourself, so this tip works very well for me. I found it on a website called quickanddirtytips.com. Get a timer. It could be your mobile phone, but ideally something else so that you don't get distracted. Set it for, say, 10 minutes and do one activity, one revision activity. So, for example, looking at an exam question, underlining the key words in it that help you, and maybe doing a couple of bullet points to say a short question. If after that 10 minutes you think, right, I can carry on, I can do more, continue. If not, stop, go and do something else. The reason why this might work is research has shown that we're more likely to do something if we're working within a tighter deadline. And obviously, once you've started, it's then easier to keep going.
Really helpful. Thanks, Lindsay. And the kind approach you kind of convey towards this is so important. Really nice. So you touched on it, and I wonder if we can just come back to it and just discuss a little bit more about feeling overwhelmed, because I know I get it. I think we all get it. And what would you say is the best thing to do when you have that feeling of being just completely overwhelmed? You don't know where to start.
Okay, so the first thing I would say is recognize and respect this. It is okay to feel overwhelmed. Please don't feel that it's bad that you feel like this and that you have to carry on when you're finding it tough. That is okay. So that's the first thing. Recognize, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. This is how I feel when I'm overwhelmed. Secondly, take a short break and do something else that you enjoy or find relaxing. So we call this grounding. What I do is, if I'm getting overwhelmed because I'm like, all right, I've got a plan for this lesson and I've got to write 40 reference skills, and then I've got a plan for my Justin Craig lessons, and then I've got to write all these reports. Oh, and I've only got 2 days. Oh my goodness. What I do is I stop and say, do you know what? Right now, my brain is not in the right place for this. So I will do something else. So I might go for a walk. I recommend at least 20 minutes, because that's how long it takes your brain to release natural chemicals that help to calm you down and feel better. Or if you don't want to walk, any other exercise that you enjoy. So for example, my nephews enjoy playing badminton or tennis or swimming or anything like that at all. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I do is I like to listen to piano music such as Helen Jane Long or Ludovico Einaudi, because I find them really soothing. The third thing that I find really helpful personally is I practice something called mindfulness meditation, particularly at night if I'm finding it hard to sleep because I'm thinking about all of my to-dos. So one mindfulness technique that could be useful is something called finger breathing. But if this doesn't work, anything else. So for me, finger breathing is what I do is, as I'm breathing in and out, I move my finger. And the trick is that the finger must move at the same pace that you're breathing in and out. And don't force the finger movement or the breathing in and out. Just follow your breath with your finger. So what I find is when I do that a few times, that helps me to feel calmer. I've known students who do other things like the stomach breathing or the counting breaths. But for me, when I'm really overwhelmed, that is the easiest thing to do, because by focusing on the movement, that helps my thoughts to just calm down. And the third thing I would say is break down whatever you have to do down into bite-sized chunks. Don't think, oh, I've got to do 4 hours of revision every day. And it's like, no, just stop and say a journey begins with a single step. So think, okay, what is one thing I can do right now? Just one thing that I feel I could do that would be useful to my revision, but I feel that I could do it. Go from there. If that doesn't work, don't force yourself. Really important not to do that. Just be comfortable. But finally, most important, I say, please speak to someone. Your parents, your teachers, your friend, any other trusted adult. We are here for you. That is our job. Exams should not be the end of the world, and health first. You can't do your best if you're not in the best frame of mind. So do ask. Or if you feel that you can't ask us, there are some fantastic charities out there. So one of them is called Young Minds. So they've got a service where you can contact someone at any time. Another good one that I've heard about more recently is called Spark UK. And that was a mental health charity created by teenagers for teenagers. And the reason why these teenagers created this charity was because they themselves were anxious teenagers before their exams, and they felt there is a need here. This is who we need to talk to. So please, please do that. You are not alone.
Thanks a million, Lindsay. That's really, really helpful. So let's come back to revision. So we'll move on to exam techniques in just a second. I was wondering what your top tips are for revising.
Okay, so the most important thing I would say is know yourself and the exams. So where I find a lot of my students go wrong is they turn to me and say, Miss, I've learned all this stuff, but when I got into the exam, I didn't know how to do this question. They didn't ask me that. And to be fair, there are some years where as a teacher, I've looked at the papers as well and thought, oh, that's a strange question to ask. But that then goes back to what I said earlier about making your revision active and varied, including exam practice. So I would say part of the reason why that's really important to you is because the more papers you look at and the more questions that you see, the better chance you've got on the exam day. So as part of your revision, don't just dive in and answer the past questions. Please take the time, as I said earlier, to find out what are the key terms you need to know. What are the key words in question that tell you what you need to do? So, for example, for AQA, a 16-mark essay might ask you something like outline and evaluate a topic. If you see that question, you know that they're testing your knowledge skills and your evaluation skills. And you should also know that there will be, you have to have what we call skill balance between how much knowledge you've got in there and how well you evaluate the topic that you've got. You will also have other types of questions, including essays, where you've got a description of someone's situation. So, for example, Nadia always has to switch the light on and off at home. Use your knowledge of OCD to explain why she is doing this. Outline and evaluate this knowledge. So you know you've got three things going on there. You've got the knowledge, applying it to a different situation, and the evaluation. So you should know that in your essay, you should have, okay, quite a lot of knowledge, a little bit of application, and more evaluation. Obviously, I'm talking about A-level. For GCSEs, that balance will be different, but what I've said still applies. That's still something you can think about in your head. Please don't worry if exam questions say, oh, you've got, say, 6 for knowledge and 10 for evaluation. We do not mark separately at A-level. We do something called band marking. And during my time at OCR GCSE psychology, we marked in the same way. Of course, for other subjects, such as maths, physics, whatever, essays will be very different. And that's something else you should be aware of as part of your practice. What an essay would be in a subject like psychology and sociology would be very different in a subject like biology, physics, and maths. And the same for different levels. So that's why it's really important as part of your revision to take that time to do that. And there are questions, I say this so many times to students and they're always amazed, in the questions where a situation is described to you, there are clues that you can use to answer the other questions. I've told my students to take the time to do this, especially if your mind goes blank, because by doing that, it's like, oh, okay, this information's in there. So, and I would also say that for any research methods questions, please take the time to go through and annotate before answering any questions. Because 9 times out of 10, a lot of what you need is in the question. You just have to think of it. The second top tip that I would give to you all is have the end goal in mind. What is it you want from the exam? So what is it you need to do? So this comes from my colleagues. So if you know going into the exams, for example, in psychology AQA, Paper 1, 96 marks. What is my goal? My goal is to get as many marks as I can out of 24 for each section, knowing that the boundaries for the grade I want is X. And that's what you should focus on. How many marks can I get rather than what grade do I want to get to go to university? I have had so many students miss out on marks because they've got their grade that they want in their heads. And they're so fixated on that that they've just missed what to do in the actual exam itself. And also you're putting too much pressure on yourself that you don't need. You need to be clever, not pressurised.
That's excellent, Lindsay. I wish I wish you'd been around when I was doing my equivalent of the A-levels in Ireland. That's really, really fabulous help. And what about what would you advise students about kind of preparing for exams in terms of the exams, but also in terms of well-being? You touched on this earlier, but I'd love to hear more from you.
There's a saying that a colleague once said to me, which I thought was really interesting, and I now use that throughout my life. You can't pour from an empty cup. So you can't do your best if you're not taking care of yourself. Please do it. This is an important 2 years of your life, but your health comes first. So I would say things like, apart from the obvious things, sorry people, getting the 7 to 9 hours sleep or more if you need it, well-balanced diet, including some brain foods such as the oily fish, mixture of fruit and vegetables, the exercise, do at least 20 minutes every day, and also taking time to do activities that you enjoy rather than overloading yourself with work. All of those things are really important. And also, find out for yourself what works best for you when you want to relax. And do you have a support network? Do you know who you can go to if, as we said earlier, you're feeling really overwhelmed and you don't know what to do? Oh, final thing, please don't cram. The day before the exam, don't cram. It won't work. Take that from my students. That's the time where you should be winding down and just getting yourself as prepared as you can for your exam. So keep it light. So this is the time where I would say just have a read through the notes that you've already done. It could be something small like your list of bullet points. It could be maybe watch a good webinar video and just test myself. Maybe, for example, in your son's case, Lydia, maybe that might be a good time for him to come to you and say, oh, could you just ask me a couple of questions on X, Y, Z just to check that I'm okay? If you feel you can do it, obviously, if you feel too stressed, don't do that because you'll just make yourself feel worse. But just things like that, just throughout the days leading up to it. One other thing I do say to my students that my teacher said to us, if you're going into the exam and you're feeling a little bit, oh, you know, I'm a bit jumpy, so you've got a moderate level of stress over it, that is good because it means that you care and you're going to concentrate. And I must admit, once he told me that, I felt really free and I felt much better about the exam and I did really well, which is why I'm here. It's almost like he said, it's okay to feel a little bit nervous. You know, that's beneficial. Don't feel that you don't have to be nervous. That's okay. And just do whatever works for you as well. So to take care of your well-being. So if you feel that some well-meaning comments like, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried that? It's too much for you. Just say to your family, your friends, look, at the moment, I am a bit stressed. What would help me best is if you could do X rather than Y.
Great. And I hope parents and young people out there are listening and take you up on that, because obviously if you've got somebody giving you lots of advice, which winds you up, it's only going to make the situation worse, isn't it? Not better. So honesty is the best policy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was one of those students who'd get exam nerves after, not before the exam. So before the exam itself, the way I dealt with it is, okay, I prepared myself as much as I can and my family knew I didn't want to talk about it much. I just wanted to get in there and do it. So they kept their comments, oh, congratulations, you know, good luck. Yeah, thank you very much. And then afterwards, my friends knew what I needed. So I remember after my second year university exam, I was getting a bit worried. Oh, I didn't put this in, I didn't put that in. One of my friends just said to me, Lindsay, you do this every exam. You turn around and say how wrong it is and you always do well. And that was exactly what I needed to hear. So I laughed and I thought, it is true. So that did stop me in its tracks. So after that, I always had those couple of minutes where I needed to do a post-mortem of my exams. But that advice really grounded me. So I thought, right, I can have 5 minutes where I do that. And then I remembered what my friend said. I thought, yeah, she's right. You know, that's good enough. And then I would move on.
Fantastic. So, and when it comes to exam day, I'm assuming good night's sleep the night before, like you said, 7 to 9 hours, solid breakfast, I assume as well, plenty of energy, and absolutely no last minute revision, I would imagine, on the morning of the exam. But please tell me what you think.
No, that I would totally agree with that. Or as I said, if it is last minute, like if you feel, oh, I just need a quick prompt, that is okay, as long as it's not too detailed and getting to the point of saying to a friend, right, tell me what it is we've been doing for the last 2 years. That's not going to work. It's just the last minute of, oh, I forgot the name of that study. What was it? That's okay. I would say don't do more than that, because I can't speak for everyone out there, but certainly for me and my students, the more we do that, the more we wind ourselves up. And then it's counterproductive because we've then forgotten everything that we have revised. And also, you don't know what the questions are. You might not even be asked what it is you think you need to know. So better to just go in there and take your time to read the questions, read the whole paper. That would be my first tip on the exam day itself. Think of it as a game. And the point of the game is to show the examiner how much you know. And the examiner is not an evil person who starts with the maximum marks available and deducts every time you make a tiny mistake. You start at zero and you build up, you go from there. They want to give you as many marks as they can. They're marking anything from 200 through to 400 papers online, and they've got very quick time span in which to do it. Make their lives easy. They don't know you. They don't know what you meant to say. Make their lives easy. Write as if you're writing to someone who doesn't know the subject that you're studying, and show your workings out. The more of that you can do, the better. So if it's clear and if it's there, the examiner will give it to you. So please, first thing, don't just dive straight in answering questions. You do have time to read them. So I would say first thing, sit down, check that everything is correct, that you're on the right table, you've got your name tag, check that you've got the right paper, particularly if you're doing different tiers, and then just read through. Read through all the questions from beginning to end. Check every single page. Quite a few years ago, there were some students who missed out on a lot of A-level marks because they didn't see the questions that were on the back. So every year I told my students this, and luckily my students that year did not have that problem. And there were some teacher and student complaints, and I took that to my students and said, oh, you didn't do that, why not? And they just said, well, because we read the whole paper like you told us to, and it's the students' fault, they should have read the whole paper. So that's really important. And as I said, if you feel that you need a little grading system, which I used to have for, yeah, I can answer that question, not sure, absolutely not, that's always a good place to start. And then followed by that underlining key terms in the question and thinking about it as you do it. Also, think about how well you're going to use your time. That's one other area in which a lot of my students go wrong. I've had so many students come to me saying, oh, I've run out of time. And then when I've spoken to them and said, well, what did you do? Did you do the questions? You know, oh, yes, and I ran out of time for the essays. Well, this is going back to what I said about knowing the exam and knowing yourself. If you know that, I was one of these students, by the way, it takes you longer to finish an essay, do that first. You do not have to do the questions in order, but make it clear what you're answering and when. So as long as you do that, I would say it's much better to do that, starting with the questions that take you longer and to say miss out on failing to tick the right box, than it is to you've got a minute to go and you've only just started an essay. That's going to have a bigger impact on your grade. And as I said, final thing is just check that everything on the paper is correct as well, that you've got the right subject, there aren't any spelling mistakes or any errors that you're not sure about. If that does happen, speak to the invigilator.
Brilliant. And are there any absolute no-nos on exam day?
Yeah, first of all, and I'm sorry if I'm going to come down hard on this, please do not take any notice of media sites like Student Rooms when they're talking about question predicting, or if you see any papers that appear to be leaked. The exam boards do have a system in place to prevent that, but please don't get involved. Even if you're just, it's a scan or your mate sent it to you, please don't do it, because you'll get into trouble as well. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I would say, please don't walk out of the exam without doing anything at all, because then you really will get nothing. You never know. Once you've taken that time to sit and read through the whole paper, you might suddenly find, oh, actually, I can do this, I can do that. The other absolute no-no is please don't do anything that you shouldn't do. If the invigilators say to you, right, no phones, no watches, digital or analog, do what they say. It makes life a lot easier. I won't say don't panic, because, you know, for some that's not easy. What I would say instead is, if you're in there and you feel, oh, I can't deal with this, do speak to someone, do speak to the invigilator and say, look, I'm having a problem. Or if you know that this will be a problem for you during the year, speak to your teachers in your schools and colleges, because there are things that we can put in place to support you with that. But obviously, the earlier we know, the better. Obviously, on the day itself, we have to treat people fairly. So yeah, and if you know, please say something, because we can do something about that. I think that's pretty much all that I would add, apart from, again, please make sure you read all the questions before you write anything.
Great. Thanks, Lindsay. So that's been so helpful, and you've really set our parents and students up to succeed if they follow your guidance. And if there are students out there who really want to go the extra mile and to shoot for the stars, what kind of things do you need to be doing to get there? Or what's your advice about aiming for the highest grade you can possibly get?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is, first of all, find out realistically, where are you and what do you need to do to get to those grades? So if you're a student who's consistently getting grade E's throughout 2 years, if you really want an A star, you've got to be realistic about how you're going to achieve that. You're not going to get an A star the next day. So that's the first thing. Know yourself and know what needs to be done. So for example, I had to resit GCSE maths when I was at college because I had a D, but I needed a C to get to university. So the first thing that the teacher did for us, and I'll advise you to do this if your teachers haven't already, particularly if it's GCSE maths, is he gave us a list of top hits and he said, right, this is what you need to be confident in to get a C. This is what you need for a B, and so on. I looked at the list and I thought, wow, everything I need to get at least a C is the stuff that I'm really good at. So when I was doing the stuff for the rest of the course, I was then able to focus on the areas that I thought I needed to work on. And I got a very pleasant surprise in the exam, because although I'd focused on how many marks for a C, I actually ended up with a B. So I'd gone up from a D to a B. So that was my first thing. If I hadn't had that information, I couldn't have targeted my revision and my practice so well. So that's the first thing. Second thing I would say for review is, once you've practiced, and I emphasize once you've practiced, please don't learn them and just copy them down, because that will not work either, especially if you get different questions in the exam. Once you've practiced your questions, have a look at the mark schemes and examiner report. So the top examiner, the person who writes the questions every year, writes down an overview of what a student's good and not so good at doing. Please learn from that. I actually use this when I'm marking, particularly if I get a different answer from a student to what I was expecting on the mark scheme. And it's really useful for you, because if you know every year, right, this is something that other students are good and not so good at, again, you can target that in your revision. And also it's useful when you're thinking about different ways to answer a question. You think, oh, here's another way of doing it that links to another part of my exam. So all of that is building up your evaluation and analytical skills. And as I said, do think about it always again, where the strategy is to get as many marks as you can by demonstrating your skills as clearly as you can. So as I said, read the questions, plan what you're going to say, use any information that the questions give you, use your time well. So for example, I say to my students, if you're doing, say, Paper 1 A-Level Psychology, AQA, each section is worth 24 marks. So I would say that means you should be spending roughly 30 minutes on each section, and there are four of them, that's your 2 hours. In Paper 2, the research methods section is bigger than the other sections, 48 marks. So I would say, very roughly speaking then, how long should you be spending on that section? They go an hour tops. I say, yeah. So it all adds up. I don't teach the mark a minute rule, because for me and my students, I think that's very unrealistic. But I think if in your head you've got, right, I know I shouldn't be spending more than this amount of time on each section, that can be really helpful. And it's a good way of checking your timing when you're in the exam. So for example, if you've got some short questions and a 16 marker, you think, right, that means roughly 10 minutes for the short and 20 minutes max for the long. You can then look at the clock and go, where I'm at, oh, okay, I'm slightly behind, let's move on, or, oh, right, this is good, I can spend a bit longer. Finally, as I said, if extended writing or essays are harder for you, do those first because then you've got more time to think about it and do them. You can skip questions if your mind's blank and go back to them, but please go back to them if you can. Also, if you really, really, really run out of time for an essay, I can give you an emergency tip that my teacher gave to me and works for me. Do it in short form. Do it in bullet points. It's better to put something down than nothing. We will still read your work. We will still count it unless you cross it out. Obviously, your mark bands may not be so high, but it could be the difference between, right, I'm heading for an A star, oh, I've run out of time, but you still scrape the higher grade versus, oh, I completely messed up, didn't finish anything, that's an E or a U. And also, I would suggest to do some independent reading. So as part of your revision, have a look on the internet, social media, or ask your teacher for extra books or resources around your subject. So for psychology, for instance, we have something called British Psychological Society Research Digest. So every week, the latest research in psychology comes out. Have a look at it. You know, just pick an article, 5 minutes, think about how it might link to what you're doing in class. And where it's relevant, bring that into your essay. Because at A level, high degree marked students are those who show original thinking. So the earlier you do that now, the better for you later on.
Fabulous, Lindsay. Thank you so, so much. I mean, I think this show and this podcast is going to be really invaluable to students who are listening to keep them on track. And thanks so much for the care and thoughtfulness that you've put into your answers, because I think it'll give students a great steer on reaching their potential, I suppose, and getting the best grade they possibly can.
Definitely. Oh, one other thing. Do remember that teachers and Justin Craig are here for you. So if you'd like to find out more about the courses we offer that could also give you an advantage, please go onto our website, www.justincraig.ac.uk, and we would be delighted to talk to you and give you some advice. We also publish some general tips on social media, so look out for those as well.
Brilliant. Actually, when I was researching this show, I found a list of Justin Craig tips for revision, and it looked really helpful. Lindsay, thank you so much for giving up your time today and for talking to us and for all your expertise.
Thank you very much for inviting me.